PC here for another episode of Collaboration Solved. Today, we'll dive into the topic of setting up objectives to help out teams to work together towards a common goal. To get practical steps on how to apply what we will discuss today, visit collaborationsolved.com. And my guest speaker today is Sandra Pretzer, based in Germany. She's a systemic business coach with tons of experience on the field, transforming businesses, coaching people on how to set actionable goals. She also runs a Lean Coffee meeting to discuss the OKR framework. It's a great pleasure to have you today. Thanks for joining us, Sandy.
Thank you, Pierre. Thanks for having me.
So I'm really glad to have you. We met briefly on a common course we had on workshopping, and we have a discussion on OKRs. You gave me a copy of your workbook to start working with OKRs, and I've been intrigued by it, what you have put in place with the businesses you're helping out. Before going into the real shit with the OKRs, let's take a little bit step back, because there is a huge list of frameworks that is used in the markets to help people to create objectives. For example, we are both working in an agile methodologies and putting that in place in companies. So SMART goals are something that is big and it's well known. But the companies also use KPIs and sometimes OKRs. So lots of acronyms, lots of things. Let's try to debunk this a little bit with you. And so my first question for you is, what do you see the major difference between those three, for example?
Yeah, so this is an interesting question and a good way to start, because there's so many things out there. Like you said, like we work in like an agile environment, and businesses have been working with, you know, like metrics and goals and stuff for forever, basically. And there's so much out there. And you mentioned three, like including OKRs. So we have SMART goals that, well, basically everyone kind of knows, like everyone kind of has heard of this acronym, like SMART, which let's put it together:
specific,
measurable, attainable, or attractive.
Yeah.
Realistic and time bound, right?
Yeah.
And then there's KPIs, like key performance indicators, which, like, for KPIs, I've seen this use being used like an inflation, right? So basically, like the organizations that I talk to or that I came into contact with in the past few years, they have like KPIs for everything, which makes the prefix key kind of redundant, right? So it's just performance indicators and everything's key, which takes away focus, of course. So let's start with KPIs. So KPIs are, like, as they suggest, performance indicators. Sometimes they're key performance indicators, sometimes it's just a metric. And they are pretty helpful to see like where you're at with your company, like from a lagging point of view. Mm-hmm. Right? Like if you like really look at KPIs and see the most common ones, there are something like revenue or profit margin or cost or whatever. And those are influenced by so many different factors, right? So we have a dynamic market, we have like everything coming into place all at once, and we can't really control that. And like I said, like those metrics are very lagging. So if we want to look at revenue or profit, you can only do that by looking like at the past, right? But you're not able to influence them anymore. But when you use them as indicators, they can be quite helpful. Yet in a complex world that we live in and dealing with dynamic markets and market shifts and changes and impacts on all sorts of levels, steering a company with only KPIs is not very sustainable, and it doesn't work. It doesn't really indicate like what the strategy is, where to play, what to do, what not to do. And only having those in place really takes away a lot of opportunities for the company to grow and experiment and innovate. Whereas for SMART goals, so this is very prevalent in the agile world, but also outside the agile world because it's very attractive, right? So it's specific, it's measurable, which is the most important thing apparently, and it's time bound and everything. So it kind of gives you the illusion of a little bit of control. Right. So if we check all these boxes, like specific, time bound, realistic and stuff, we're very, very much set up to hit this metric. Right. So SMART goals, they're pretty helpful because it's a good way to illuminate a goal from various perspectives. Yet it doesn't really indicate like what sort of metric you're using. Right, so it just has to be measurable, and we can measure all sorts of things, like 10 features launched, 5 articles written, whatever. Right, it's specific, it's time bound, it's measurable. Yet it doesn't tell us anything about the feedback of the customer. Right, like these metrics don't really tell us if our customers really use the features that we just launched. If they really read and gain some benefits from the articles that we wrote. So this is a common like misconception that SMART goals like really help you with customer centricity. And both of those methodologies or theories or approaches, like KPIs and SMART goals, they don't really provide a framework for communication. So in like traditional organizations, but also in startups, I've seen this in startups too, where it happens that only like leadership or top management sets those metrics and cascades them down towards their teams. And they don't tell you, like those metrics don't tell you what I touched on earlier. They don't tell you what the strategy is. They don't tell you what decisions have been made. It just indicates that we have to make more profit or more revenue than we did last month. And it leaves a huge opportunity because we don't have any... So there's no involvement of the whole organization or the people that really want to drive strategic stuff, which is another thing. So with OKRs, we only focus on strategic stuff, right? We don't focus on what I call BAU, right? Like business as usual. We have our day-to-day business. We have products and services that we tested and know that they work. And this is what we do to keep the lights on, right? Business as usual. And then we have to prepare our organization for the future. Like, how do we stay relevant for our customers in 5, 10, 50 years, right? And as I said, with our dynamic market and dynamic world with all these changes and innovations and stuff, we have to like keep our finger on the pulse and see what this means for us as a company. Do we have to change like our business model? Do we have to introduce new services? Do we have to get rid of old ones? And what does it look like, right? So with OKRs, we have the opportunity to really single out our strategy, really make informed decisions about where to play, how to win, and placing bets in different strategic pillars, and have people from our organization who are able and willing to work towards those strategic goals, they have like they have a framework with OKRs that helps them set, check in and reflect on those goals, and always reflect on themselves too.
Yeah. And thanks for that, because even for me, it was a refresher. And the way I understood it, so we talked first from of APIs, which are a measure of progress, kind of looks like a car dashboard. So we know what is actual and what have been in the past, for example. So we can measure the progress. I don't know, miles, fuel, speed, whatever. SMART goals, the way I understood what you try to uncover, it's much more like it's a great method to make sure that we focus on something. So it's a way to make sure we look at something really small and not to attach on something too big, not attainable, not realistic, for example. But we're missing a framework that instructs us how to do it. And what I like in your explanation of OKRs is like it's a way of looking things differently, because we are looking at a future state.
Exactly.
We try to imagine what could be a possible future and try to look at specific items that we want to track to make sure that this future is realizing.
Exactly. Touching on that, so what all the other frameworks or methodologies or approaches, I don't know the right word for that, let's say approaches, what they all lack is that they don't have this visionary element, right? So it's just numbers. We have metrics. And while we do have that in OKRs as well, specifically in the key results, there is another layer towards it that starts with the company vision mm-hmm. and purpose, or product vision. And it kind of tells a story, right? So we want to tell a story like why did we, you know, found this company in the first place? Like what problems were we solving? And sometimes organizations forget that, like especially if they've been around for a while, and props to them, because if they've been around for a while, they must have done something right, right? I think it's always because we tell like stories where our organization like fits into the world and what customers' needs are being met. And in the OKR framework, with like the objectives, we have that narrative, visionary element. We have an artifact that's called midterm goal, right? Or midterm strategic goal that focuses on the next 12 to 18 months, right? So what does the life of our customers look like in 12 months? What are they've been able to do through our products, through our services? And we tell that narrative, we tell that story beginning from the vision, getting closer to it with the midterm goal, and then even closer with the objective. And only then, like after the objective has been set, we look at key results, right? Okay, like if this objective really becomes reality, how will we be able to measure that? Like what change in behavior do we have to see? Do we have to be able to observe so that we know that our objective has become reality? And that's a whole different approach to strategic goal setting, talking about goals, talking about like problem solving within the company compared to a management team or top management, you know, dictating and cascading down metrics that don't really resonate with anyone.
What I like is that this tool is almost a storytelling tool.
Yeah, exactly.
With metrics. So it creates an innovative way of thinking, a way of thinking where we are not just looking at numbers, but we are trying to envision something.
Exactly.
But it seems also much more complicated to put in place than KPIs. Measuring revenue can be done pretty much automatically, even real time, but it doesn't tell a story. So you've been in many places where you're coaching teams and leaders to create some goals. What was the common pitfalls people are tripping to when they try to create objectives with OKRs?
There's quite a lot. Masquerading your current approach with new headlines, not being clear about the why OKRs, not having management buy-in, and doing a big bang rollout. Right. So, as we just discussed, working with OKRs is a totally different approach towards goal setting and talking about goals and aligning around them and resonating than it is with KPIs. Right. So this is not only about how we phrase objectives and key results. It's also a systemic change towards the organization, right? So there's a lot of experimentation going on. It starts with management commitment, because there might be changes popping up in the organization and you never know when and where they arise. But you need to be aware of them and be willing to deal with them, right? So you could imagine that when you've been used to working with KPIs, for example, and you always had these metrics and you as a manager could dictate them to your team. And now you're giving like the autonomy to the team to develop their own objectives and key results, right? So they're not dictating anymore. So one of the things that we need to look at is that the role of leadership or managers will change within the organization. I mean, we've seen that across industries, I guess. It's kind of very hard to withstand the urge to fall back into routines that you know so well, even if you know that it's not working, right? So one pitfall could be that you actually still use KPIs or output or lagging measures, right? But you just, you know, change the headlines. So instead of KPIs, now it's a key result. Or like use the same approach, right? Like just trickle it down, strictly cascade goals and just changing the headlines. And of course, then you won't see any effects, right? Another common mistake is that in the beginning of an OKR adoption, right? So someone reads about OKRs or watched that infamous Google video or read a book or whatever, and they kind of resonate with something, and they wanna introduce it to their organization in kind of a big bang implementation. So starting tomorrow, everyone's working with OKRs, and it better be successful. So what most underestimate is taking the time in the beginning to really align and around the problem that they want OKR to solve, right? As we just established, OKRs or the OKR framework is quote-unquote just a tool. And you need to learn how to leverage that in your organization. And what I recommend is like start small. Start with one pilot team around one strategic pillar or one strategic theme, and try that for a few OKR cycles. And reflect, share the learnings, see whether that previously defined problem that you see that you want OKRs to solve is really being solved with OKRs. If it really brings the benefits to your organizations that you were counting on. And then iterate, right? Start small, learn, share, iterate, and so on.
Yeah, I really also like the approach of experimenting and start small with early adopters, so people who are just eager for something new and are okay for experimenting on something that can be rolled out anytime. But at least you learn something. You learn how it's worked in the place you experiment.
Exactly.
So what are the benefits the leadership will gain of this experimentation?
Well, they will have a company in like 20 years, I'd say. Probably. Well, so yeah, staying relevant and like having multiple perspectives on strategic decisions and really benefiting from the people who are like in the market, who work with their customers, who see like what competitors do, or like Simon Sinek names them worthy rivals, right? So what do they do? What we could learn from them, and what do the customers say? What do they use? Like what workarounds are they using? Like whatever, right? Why let that opportunity go to waste? I mean, you hired the best people, no? So
it's always like that. Trust them.
Trust them. I mean, you never have, like when you commit to OKRs, you never have like this alternative reality. So you don't have two reality streams where you can check, right? Like you don't have A/B testing for that. So if you commit to OKRs, you only see where your company is going with OKRs, and you cannot compare it to, oh, if we didn't adopt OKRs, we might be just as well off. So you don't know. But my hypothesis is that when you work with OKRs and really put your customer in focus and use narratives, use stories, use like a compelling vision of the future, might it be in 3 or 4 months, in a year, or infinity, my hypothesis is that you will stay a lot more relevant for your customers. There might be hard decisions along the way, mm-hmm. but still, now you have the framework to react to dynamic market changes, right? So you can be dynamic, robust.
It makes me think about one of the pitfalls you mentioned, using OKRs for everything. Mm. For example, in your experience and the implementations you've done, what are good fits for pilots?
So, depends on your company, your service, your industry, whatever. But anything that creates value for your customer, and things that you like, where you want to take your company strategically. So it might be that you want, like you're currently operating only in Canada, and you want to scale your operation towards other countries, right? Like how do you, you know, like conquer a market? I mean, there's people out there who will sell you the 5 Steps to Success package for a lot of money, but my guess is that there's no one proven, you know, best practice for that. So this is something that's highly complex, and you need to experiment, right? Experiment and adapt, and try things and adapt, learn and adapt. Or you come up with a new idea for a product, right? That solves a customer problem. How do you get, you know, customers not only buying your stuff, but turn them into fans, right? Also, there's a lot of people out there who will sell you their 7-step plan for success for a lot of money. But that's also a very highly complex thing, because we're dealing with people, right? Yeah. Conquering a market, turning customers into fans, acquiring first customers. It's a highly complex thing because you're dealing with people, and people are complex. So yeah, this is where OKRs really fit well, because every metric or like KPI or SMART goal, as we talked about earlier, it's just a wish, right? Conquer Italy and have, I don't know, 30 million revenue by the end of Q4, right? So this is a wish. It's not a set in stone thing. Mm-hmm. And so while that is, you know, it can be a metric that we're working towards, but it lacks the way we get there, right? It's super lagging, and we want leading indicators. Okay, how could we win them over? How could we, you know, make it a sustainable market entry or the sale of a product or whatever? Those are the scenarios where we want to work with OKRs. Other stuff in our organization that is mostly inward facing or enabling or something that's kind of repetitive tasks that are where you don't need, you know, like a brainstorming or innovation workshop to come up with ideas how to do that, right? Like accounting, bookkeeping, payroll, whatever, you know, like there's a thing and you do it. Payroll department, there's no need for them to set objectives and key results because they know what they have to do. It's a repetitive thing. Or where things are pretty clear, you know, like obvious problems or problems with obvious solutions and stuff. Or where you have best practices, right? How to build a car. Okay, let's get the material, let's set up the machines, and in the end, you'll have a car. How to get customers for that car, how to turn customers into fans for that car, it's a different matter.
All right. Thanks a lot, Sandy, for being there.
Thank you, PC, for having me.
We had lots of precious insights today. I'm pretty sure some folks will be eager to experiment, have a small pilot. See you next time for another exciting show to give you these tons of practical tips and tricks on the field and change collaboration at your workplace. Until next time, des bisous.